Y'all want to come up and sing, kids? No. All right. Turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. We got started a little late this morning, and then I went a little long on the announcements, and we usually go live on the internet about a quarter after. And so we'll just do our last song this morning and get into the message. In Romans chapter 16, a continuation of the message that we started last Sunday morning. And I want to read Romans 16:25 as a starting place here. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome as he concludes this letter, says, Now, verse 25, Now to him there's a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now notice the next words. According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. I want you to look over in, or back in Acts chapter 26. In Acts 26, we talked about last week the revelation. And of course, there's a book in the Bible called the Revelation. It's revelation of God to the Apostle John. But Paul talks about many places in the epistles that he writes about the revelation given unto him. And it's called the revelation of the mystery. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is given an account of his salvation. And he says there in verse 13, At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and then which journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Now notice, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And so Paul's ministry was a progressive revelation. God showed Paul certain things there in Acts 9, and he continued to reveal things to Paul throughout his ministry. Now notice what this ministry is all about. Verse 17, Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, there are really five things mentioned there in relation to the revelation of the Apostle Paul and God's intent as far as what he desired to accomplish through that revelation. Paul said that he was to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. God revealed truth to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, in obedience, wrote down that which was revealed, and we have it today recorded in our Bible in Romans through Philemon. Paul said that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, you're saved according to my gospel, he called it. And he says in Romans 2 that there's going to come a day when God is going to judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. So there's no doubt that Paul was given a separate and a distinct revelation, a body of truth that had never been revealed previously than being revealed to him from the Lord. That ministry that Paul was given, he says, is to open their eyes. That opening of the eyes has to do with proclaiming to them the message. In other words, he said to turn them from darkness to light. Paul talks about the fact that the devil desires to blind people's minds lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. We covered those two points last week, and for time's sake, we're not going to go back and review a lot of that. We do have the CD available. It's also on the internet. But I want us today to look at the next thing that says that God said would take place through this ministry, this revelation, this appearance of God through the apostle, or this appearing to the Apostle Paul. Verse 18 again, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and the third thing, and from the power of Satan unto God. The power of Satan unto God. That tells me that people that are lost, that were lost in Paul's day, that are now lost, are under a power. The devil is spoken of as being the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Look back in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. He said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Now notice, "according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Paul said, you Ephesians who were idol worshippers, who were fornicators, you were under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. He said, we all had our conversation. Paul was a religious zealot. That tells me that the same spirit that indwelt those lost idol worshippers that were worshiping in the temple of Diana over there at Ephesus, that same spirit had control of the apostle Paul, who was a Jew, who was a Pharisee, who was a law-abiding man, and yet he said, we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This message that was revealed to the apostle Paul, Paul said that in me first he might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should have to believe. It's interesting that when Paul was on the road to Damascus, what was it that he saw there? He saw a light, didn't he? But what was the next thing that happened? Paul was blinded. And yet, in that blindness, God revealed to the Apostle Paul, began to reveal to the Apostle Paul, this message that he was going to preach and teach, that was going to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, and deliver them from the power of Satan unto God. Now, how is it that people today are delivered from the power of Satan unto God? Look back in Romans chapter, or over in Romans 16. In Romans 16, you see, I believe that Satan is very real. Now, I believe a lot of things that are taught about Satan today are in error. I believe that the devil works, in my own opinion, according to my study in the Scriptures, and this is another study within itself, we don't have time to run all the references, but I believe that primarily today, Satan's power is through false teaching, through false doctrine. I do not believe that today, and I know a lot of people get upset with this particular side of what I believe about. I don't believe that the devil has the power to make people sick, for example. I believe if he did, we'd all be sick all the time. I believe people are sick today as a natural occurrence of dwelling in a sin-cursed body. But see, there are people today that teach that the devil makes people sick, and therefore, what do you have to do to get well? Cast out the devil. Well, obviously, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, that was very real and very prevalent. But why was that? Because Jesus Christ was there to bring about an earthly kingdom, and all hell was turned loose against the nation Israel in a physical sense. How is God dealing today with the church, the body of Christ? In a spiritual realm. We're not a physical body of believers. I mean, we're a physical body in that we're all walking around in bodies, but the body of Christ is a spiritual body. And therefore, the devil today attacks on the basis of the spiritual. Now, I say that because of the confusion that I believe reigns. There was a man who called me several weeks back. And he told me that there was a woman at his house who was demon possessed, and he wanted me to come over there and deal with her. And I said, well, how would you know that she is demon possessed? He said, well, she's flopping around on the floor and all kind of stuff coming out of her mouth, that kind of thing. And I said, then you need to get her to the emergency room. She needs medical help. He became furious. He got on Facebook and wrote stuff about this preacher that wouldn't answer the call. By the way, this man claims to be saved, claims to know all about rightly dividing, claims to know the gospel. Folks, the only thing that's going to help a person that is lost and demon possessed today is the truth of the Word of God. I mean, I'm kind of at a loss there. Am I going to go over there and try to perform some kind of exorcism? No. And so I told him, I said, listen, you need to get her some medical help. Why did I say that? Because I had seen on TV many times, and particularly a program that came on several years ago, about a Catholic priest that was called to do an exorcism on this young lady that was having exactly the same kind of things that he said was going on with this lady. And so they went through this exorcism and all that kind of stuff, and they got her on some medication, and the flopping around that she was doing was actually seizures, and it ended up later on the girl died after having the exorcism. That's why I told the man, you need to get her some medical help. Because I had seen and heard of these accounts of stuff attributed to demon possession. Well, I believe in demon possession. I believe if you want to see demon possession, there's a lot of churches you can go to today and you could see a demonstration of it right there in the pulpit. I don't mean that to be mean, I'm not calling any names, but I'm telling you, there's a spirit that's in control today. But because people equate the spirit of Satan with all these horrendous things that go on, and I'm not saying that some of them are not, but I'm just saying there's a lot of things attributed to the devil that cause people not to really understand the real enemy. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against what kind of wickedness? Spiritual wickedness in high places. You want to turn somebody from the power of Satan to God? You know how you're going to do it today? Through truth. Through the Word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 16, in verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Oh, by the way, that man called my house about 3 weeks later after this incident and told me that young lady had died and was just furious at me for not coming to help her. Think about that. What were my last words to him? She needs some medical help. She needs some medical help. Verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now I want to read that verse because I want you to understand. I understand that Satan today has power. He has tremendous power. But I believe Satan's greatest tool today is that of the doctrine, the teaching that influences the human mind. And that is what he desires to do. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that he has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. You see, in Paul's preaching and teaching, you see that the emphasis turns away from doing the things that Jesus did in his earthly ministry, like casting out the devils and then going into a herd of swine and running into the water and so forth. You see that when Paul talks about the influence of Satan, it's about the mind. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Think about that now. "But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You know who has the stronghold on people? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." You see, when it comes to the lost people, all the devil has to do is blind their minds lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, and they'll forever remain lost, in a lost condition. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Well, then the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel, is the power that God uses to free people from the bondage of false teaching, the bondage of a religious teaching that tells people they've got to do something in order to be saved. You see, any preacher that stands up and tells people a lie in reference to salvation, in reference to how a person can be justified today, that person is, whether they realize it or not, a minister of Satan. Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He talks about them being an angel of light. He talks about the, 2 Corinthians 11. Just turn over a page there. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 13, he said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into" what? "An angel of light." Well, then how is the devil operating today? Through the mind of people. He's blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine unto them. But you see, we have a power that will overcome that. How do we do that? Is it through doing some kind of physical exorcism and exercising some spirit out of them? You know, when you talk about these things, I had a discussion not long ago. People always want to tell you about something they saw or something they experienced. I always wonder why people are willing to take experience over what the Word of God says. It's like I've told several times before, I taught a lesson about the tongues and all that kind of stuff up in Dayton, Tennessee years ago, and showed clearly how they were done away with and how that Paul had certain spiritual gifts in the book of Acts, but later did not have those spiritual gifts. Man there after the service, he came up and said, "That was a good Bible study." And I said, "Well, where do you go to church?" He told me where he went to church. It's a charismatic church. And I said, "Well, what did you think about the lesson?" He said, "Well, that was all right, part of it." But he said, "What you talked about the tongues there," he said, "I don't agree with that." He said, "I have spoken in tongues. I have had the experience, and I don't care what the Bible says." Experience over the Word of God. Now listen, folks, you don't have to go very far to find people that are willing to claim some type of experience above the Word of God. Something they've seen, they felt, they touched, or whatever. I'm telling you that the devil is real today. He's in control of people, and he does it through controlling their mind. He has them right where he wants them. And that mind control may result in people taking animals out in the woods and offering them as a sacrifice to the devil. It might result in something like that. But it might also result in those people who are having their mind control sitting in church every Sunday morning listening to a false apostle, a deceitful worker that has transformed himself into an angel of light. And their mind is being controlled. What is it that is the remedy? Well, what did God tell the Apostle Paul? He said, "Paul, I want you to be a minister of those things that I have appeared unto thee and the things I will appear unto thee, to turn them from darkness to light, to open their eyes, and to deliver them, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. You know why there's so much confusion? You know why so many people remain under his power today? Because they may believe the Bible, but they've never been saved, because they've been taught that you're saved by keeping the commandments, by joining the church, by all kind of other things that they find in the Bible, keeping the law or whatever. And they don't rightly divide the word of truth. They've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. They've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. And therefore they remain blinded till this day. The light of the glorious gospel. Look in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now there's a couple of key words in that verse that I bet you some of us just missed when we read it. Didn't even notice them. He says there that you may abound in hope, how? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. But how did that power of the Holy Ghost come about in their life? Well, back up in the verse just a little bit. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is a spiritual book. Jerry was talking about this morning, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Word of God is preached. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It is the Word of God that has the power. Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation to who? To everyone that believeth. But he also said the preaching of the cross is to them perish foolishness, but us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, people, grace believers all the time, get accused of not believing in the power of God because of our dispensational teaching about the Bible. Listen, I believe wholeheartedly in the power of God, but I believe it the way it's presented through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. I have a power working in me. I have the life of Christ resident in me. I am baptized into his body. I am part of his body. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. I believe in the power of God. But I believe it is demonstrated through believing His Word and exercising that truth in our life. I don't believe that God has empowered me to do supernatural things like heal people or raise the dead or drink any deadly thing that not hurt me. Why? Because I see in the Bible that those things pertain to the nation Israel, a physical people with physical promises that will someday inherit a physical kingdom. But we are a spiritual body with spiritual promises and spiritual truth and a spiritual power that worketh in us. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. But he also says to allow the Holy Spirit of God be filled with the Spirit, he said. So the Spirit of God is what turns people from the power of Satan unto God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declared unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, notice, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." What was demonstrated through Paul's preaching? What did Paul do? He preached the gospel. He said, "The gospel is the power of God of salvation, everyone that believeth." He said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Go to 4 first. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 4, we've been quoting here. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves." Now remember, what did Paul say? "I came to you not with wisdom of words." Man, what did he preach? He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 7. "By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left." He's talking about how he conducted his ministry. I'll just cut in there. "By honor and dishonor," and so forth. But notice, "by the word of truth, by the power of God." Listen, folks, the power is in the word of God. And it has the power. It's the power that God has imparted to us. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. "I thank God whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Well, where is the power, and the love, and a sound mind come from? Well, all of those things, folks, you can relate right back to the Word of God. The Word working in us. You see, the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you works perfectly with the Word of God. So the Bible says that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. We know the things of God, not by what we feel, not by what we experience, not by what we see. We know the Word of God. We know the will of God by the Word of God. We know the things of God by the Word of God. It is the power of God of salvation. I'm so thankful. You know, there are some people, there are some preachers I know that they have a real knack of communication, talking with people. I never have been real good at what they call cold calling sales, you know, where you go out and you call on somebody to sell. I tried that one time. They finally let me go. Said I couldn't sell anything. Now, I did pretty good when I sold inside and people came to me. But I've got some friends, I know some people that, man, they can walk up in a crowd and they never meet a stranger. They just are willing to, they're just able to initiate the conversation. It was a real blessing to me because, you see, when I was in the church I grew up in, we went to soul winning courses. We went to training. We were taught how to send two people in the house, and one person was to get the TV turned off and distract the kids, while the other person was to talk to the people, and you would lay out the Romans Road, and I was always the one that was to distract them, because I didn't know what to say. And half the time, you know, when I go up and knock on that door, as soon as I knocked, I started praying, "Lord, don't let anybody be here," because I was afraid they were going to ask me a question. I just wasn't good at that kind of thing. You know why? Because I was ignorant. I was real happy when I found out that people getting saved as a part, as a result of the ministry, was not based on my ability to sell anything, but rather was based on the power of God's Word. Because I knew that I could tell them the gospel. I mean, nothing else. I could open the Bible and just read it to them. And I got a verse that said that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. So it was not my ability, like Paul said, I came not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power and of Spirit. Listen, folks, it's not in how the message is presented, it's what is presented in the message. That's what's important. It's what goes forth. It's the words that convince. The words that Christ died for our sins. We have the spirit of, not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when I became established in the truth, you know what? That spirit of fear, it was not nearly as prevalent as it was previously. Why is that? Because God one day just supernaturally empowered me and I woke up with all His power? No. How'd that power come? By studying to show myself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's where the power comes from, in the truth of the word of God. And if you know any scripture at all, you've got that power. And even if you don't know it, you've got a book that you know where it is. Romans through Philemon. It's the power of God. Now, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about. There's several other things. There's one more thing I am going to talk about. Look back in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I mean, I was going to finish these last three things here, but we're just going to do one today. So this will become a mini-series, I reckon. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit of God indwells every believer. When Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, the question arises is, how do you do that? Do you pray and ask for more of the Spirit? I believe you become filled with the Spirit by becoming filled with the Word of God. But there's a problem. Because that old serpent, the devil, never lets up. And just because you're saved, that doesn't mean that you get out of this box and you go over here and now you're in the saved box, and so Satan just leaves these people alone. No, the devil will do everything he can to try to destroy you, your faith, your influence, your family. On and on it goes. He'll do everything he can to try to destroy you as a Christian as far as your influence, testimony, joy, and so forth is concerned. And you know what? He's been extremely successful in doing that. All you got to do is just get them out of the Word. Get them looking to the philosophies of man. Get them believing in, if it feels good, do it. Get them believing that, well, God wants me to be happy, and therefore, if I have to do something outside His will to be happy, that's what God... I mean, there's all kind of philosophies that are presented out there that people just soak up because it appeals to their flesh. We all do that. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Spirit speaketh expressly. So I would assume that the Spirit's still speaking to the Apostle Paul when he writes this, wouldn't you? He said, you're going to be a minister of those things that I have appeared unto thee and the things I will appear unto thee. The Spirit spoke expressly to the Apostle Paul about a situation. That's what he says. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now that doesn't mean that people that are saved are get lost. But they depart from what? The faith. The faith, we talked about it several weeks ago. It's the body of truth delivered through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Now, notice what he says. They shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. Now, did you notice how those things relate directly to your mind? You know why you should never subscribe to that old idea of letting your conscience be your guide? Because your conscience might be seared with a hot iron. If you watch enough Oprah and Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz and, I mean, go, you know, right on down the list, your mind might become seared, your conscience might become seared with a hot iron to where you don't believe things are wrong that the Bible says are wrong. You might not believe things that are right that the Bible says are right. You might just take the world's position. You might just take the humanist approach to things rather than taking the Word of God. You know who that is? That's Satan. He didn't have to jump down in your living room with some kind of little red suit and a pitchfork to get you to believe that. All he had to do was exert some influence on your mind. And when you subject your mind to that which is contrary to the Word of God, you've done exactly what Paul warned against in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 when he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Against the Word of God. The devil never lets up, folks. I know. I'm battling 24/7. Even when I'm asleep, I'm dreaming stuff that I shouldn't dream. Thoughts that end up in actions. That's why it's important. It's very important that we control what enters our mind through the gates that God has provided, whether it be the eyes or the ears or the senses. Touch not, taste not, handle not, all of those things. The devil is real. God Almighty has turned us from the power of Satan unto God by the truth of the gospel. Therefore, we should be able to say like the Apostle Paul, we're not ignorant of his devices. But many times we are ignorant of his devices. And because people see the devil today, as I mentioned a moment ago, in people out in the woods practicing witchcraft and offering animals up and all that kind of stuff, rather than seeing him where he really is, they've succumbed without even knowing. How are people turned from darkness to light? Number one, through the preaching of the cross. How is it they're turned from, have their eyes open? How is it they turn from the power of Satan to God? Through the preaching of the cross. How do we remain faithful and not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, or depart from the faith and give heed to those seducing spirits? By the power of the Word of God. By allowing that truth to operate in us so that we do what God desires us to do rather than what our flesh desires for us to do. It's really so simple that people miss it. We have a power working within us. It is the Holy Spirit of God in conjunction with the Word of God instructing us, edifying us, building us up, and showing us the truth so that we can operate on the basis of what God desires for us, what His will is, what His Word says, rather than that which is presented by that old serpent, the devil, Satan. Thank God today that Satan has no more power over you than you're willing to allow him to have. You see, you're not helpless. You're not hopeless. It's not like the Satan just get a hold of you and you can't do anything about it. The only power Satan has over a saved person is the power that saved person yields unto him. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit of God in you and you've been sealed unto their redemption and you have the truth. Therefore, stand in that truth and allow the revelation given through our apostle, the Apostle Paul, to do the work that God intended it to do, to open your eyes, to turn you from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Don't be influenced by his. Don't be a part of his work. Don't be a part of his kingdom, part of his power. If you've never trusted him, Christ is your Savior. Christ died for your sins. He paid for every one of them. And they're all taken care of. And the devil would present unto you a lie that your sin is the issue. How many people do you know today that have guilt over things they've done in the past and they can't get it over because the devil's always throwing that stuff up before them? And, well, God couldn't save you. You couldn't really be a Christian if you did those kind of things or thought those kind of things. Listen, folks, none of that's the issue. Jesus Christ paid for all those sins. And when you trust Him, He saves you that moment. You pass from death unto life. And if you're saved, you have that very power working in you, that you might know, understand, believe, and exercise that truth. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And He gave it to us through His Word. Therefore, we need to exercise it and use it to our benefit. Study it, apply it, live in it, and let it live in us. Would you stand me for prayer?